but a good day for flower shops.
Not that I think the Russians are in any danger. And if you go back and look at what happened over the last 3 days, we've had these so-called probing attacks from the Ukrainian side. Almost 4,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been lost, 54 tanks, 140 armored fighting vehicles, numerous trucks, two helicopters, several Ukrainian aircraft. So these probing attacks into Russian defenses were disasters. Russian losses are almost negligible, to the point of irrelevant. So bottom line is, at this stage, I wouldn't attach too much significance to it, except to look at it as probably reducing options for the Ukrainians, not improving them.
Understood. Here in the United States, but obviously within the entire Western geopolitical construct, we don't seem to actually pursue any kind of a peace plan. There certainly is a war plan, and we know war is a racket. We understand that billions of dollars have been going to Ukraine, most of it ending up back here in some of our politicians' pockets. We have seen weapons all of a sudden in the hands of Mexican cartels. What is our bottom line?
Well, you've
do we know?
Yeah, well, you just asked a multi-million dollar question. This is a terrible, terrible dilemma. And it's something that we have not historically faced very often in our history. It's not going to end well for any of us in the United States. But this is part of the paralysis that grips us in foreign and defense policy. We're on a path over which we Americans have very little influence at this point.
On a path of unelected bureaucrats, both in the United States and Europe, terrorizing the world population.
But remember, they are also being supported by lots of elected officials who are enabling them.
True.
They may not be driving it, but they're enabling it for the very reasons you point out. Because you would think in Congress, regardless of party affiliation, people would be outraged.
Yes.
They aren't.
And they're not. And that is the fear, I think, for all of us come 2024 or any election, no matter who we elect, if we elect them, the permanent bureaucracy or whatever, if we wish to call them the deep state, the permanent state will always rule over us unless something changes.
Well, something's got to change.
That's right. And that is Colonel Douglas McGregor. And thank you very much to OMO, One Man's Opinion. He put me onto that. And that chap, he's very, very good, isn't he? He's a colonel. I think he was a former Trump advisor during the Trump administration. And, of course, he should be there now. He's really dropping a lot of truth bombs, isn't he? It's 24 minutes past six. Welcome to my program. And I had to play that because I know it's 15 minutes long, but it's very important. And I might play it again a little bit later on. I'll try and chop it up into some extracts for you so that it's, you know, 4 minutes or something like that, because 15 is far too long and I don't normally play that in the breakfast, but I thought I'd better because it was so good. We'll have a look and see what's happened on this day on June the 15th and a little bit later in the program. It's 25 past six. Oh, nothing like Uncle Cracker. Today's best country on the wireless with Grant, and that is Drift Away. And before that, we had the Road Hammers. I don't know when to quit. Do you? Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. 28 minutes to 7. Thanks for joining me. Sorry we had a very long Colonel Douglas McGregor, but I think it's worthwhile. It was 15 minutes, but it was worth it to hear him, to hear the other side of the story about what's going on in Ukraine, because it's all a load of nonsense what we're being fed. And this guy's a former... He's a colonel, and he's a former advisor to Donald Trump, President Trump, and so he knows a thing or two, and I think you'd be better off listening to him. You can look him up on YouTube, the Tube of You, and find out for yourself what's going on. Now, I want you to go over, you must do this, go to YouTube, have a look at this, before they all get taken down. I think that's what's going to happen. That's what Jacinda Ardern and her mob are after. They've actually employed, the government has employed the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. This is a transnational company. I'll tell you a little bit about them after Mickey Willis. This is his new documentary, and it is called The Great Awakening. And he's Mickey Willis. It's M-I-K-K-I. He is a writer and director. Well worth watching that. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. It'll be the best hour and 40 minutes you've spent. 27 minutes to 7.
While Justin Trudeau makes a compelling case study, he is not the only dictator on the rise. Under the new rules provided by the COVID-19 emergency, many other elected leaders were empowered to show their true colors. Interesting how they all marched in perfect lockstep while chanting the same slogans.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity.
Here we are now with an economy in crisis, but with an incredible opportunity.
It's certainly a major crisis, but it also offers us a unique opportunity.
Unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset.
The great opportunity for reset.
Opportunity for us to reset.
For a reset.
It's almost as if they all attended the same school of thought and studied under the same professor.
Some people would say this revolution is characterized by the fight of robots against human beings. And we will win this fight.
Yes, we will win this fight. Yes, we will win. It is 26 minutes to 7. I can't do a very good German. I'm sounding like John Ansel doing the Russian. Not very good. He's better than me.
Footprints in the sand, cold walk in December, warming up your hands.
I like him. I like that fella. Lee Bryce and Memory, I Don't Miss. Here we go. That is, you can watch the video too if you go to YouTube and have a look at him. Before that, it was Zach Bryan. And what was he singing? He was singing Sun to Me. Right now, we've got Mary Jane. She's back at 25 to 7. Hello, Mary Jane.
Hello, Grant. How are you?
Oh, that you don't sound your normal self. This sounds a bit better.
Here we go.
This is Country Biography. Taylor Swift has been singing all her life, motivated by her grandmother, Hungle Tim McGraw, in August 2006, followed by a self-titled album that October. This is Country Biography, as we look at the rise of country teen idol, Taylor Swift.
Well, she's a bit older now, isn't she? 24 to 7, and you are listening to The Wireless, playing today's best country here on The Wireless.
I have this thing where I get older, but in for the anti-hero.
What do you think of that? Not bad, eh? Today's best country on The Wireless with Grant Edwards is 6:45. I hope you enjoyed that's Anti-Hero, a new one for Taylor Swift. There you go. I thought I'd play an old one. Mary Jane and I, we've really got to record some more new ones. We did those back in 2008. At the farm down in the Central Hawke's Bay at Dingo Flat. Naughty, I shouldn't really be playing those old ones, but I love the sound of her voice. She's just wonderful. She's married my brother, and Trev's a lucky. He's a lucky man. They've been married for, nearly 30 years. Those guys got married down in Harry, that's where she's from. The parents used to own the wonderful Harry Motels, the Tamazi Motels. I think they were called, Tamazi Motels, that's right, Mary Jane Tamazi. I remember when I first met her, I was working at Classic Hits at the time, and she was a new newsreader, and I think I went and had lunch with her. Yeah, I think I asked her out, actually, for a coffee or lunch or something like that. She's lovely. Anyway, she didn't like me. She liked my brother Trev more. So I introduced them, and it was just love at first sight. And wonderful, and they've been together ever since. Fantastic. 14 to 7, there we are, a bit of family history there. So let's have a look and see what happened on this day. If you're having a birthday today on the 15th of June, happy birthday to my good friend Lisa Straneski. She is, won't say how old you are, but she's having a birthday today. And on this day, did you know that in 763, hope the microphone's on, oh yes it is, 763 BC, the Assyrians, they recorded the solar eclipse that will be used to fix chronology for the Mesopotamian history. Did you know that? I didn't know. I don't know how they'd know it was on the 15th of June, would you? Now, I tell you what, this is something that's all very important to us. In 1215, King John signs the Magna Carta at Runnymede near Windsor, England. Very important document. In 1775, George Washington, on this day, he was appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. And that was a day after Congress established that force. In Japan, now, in 1896, a tsunami strikes Shinto festival on the beach at Shinrikyo in Japan, killing 27,000 people and injuring 9,000. and 13,000 houses were destroyed in that tsunami. So obviously global warming was happening back in the 19th century, at the end of the 19th, in 1896 even. Yes, but no one really knew about it, did they? Global warming, what a load of baloney. What an absolute nonsense it is. 14:30 to 7 this morning here on The Wireless. World War II, on this day, France surrenders to Nazi Germany, and German troops occupy Paris in 1940 on this day, the 15th of June. In 1991, climatic eruption of Mount Punatubo, that was in the Philippines. It was a volcano, and that was the largest volcanic eruption on Earth in the 20th century. In film today, film and television, there was what happened then in 1878. The world's first moving pictures were caught on camera. They used 12 cameras, one taking one picture each one. And they wanted to see if the horse's hooves actually left the ground. And they did. In sport, in 1980, on this day, the US Open men's golf, Brooke Trousseau, GC, Jack Nicklaus, he set the new tournament record, recording 172, and it says minus 8, and I think that means 8 under par, doesn't it, to win the fourth Open title, 2 strokes ahead of Isao Aoki. And it's not Aoki, it's Aoki, actually. Aoki, yes, because their vowels are a wee bit different. They're similar to the Maori vowels. We'll get the Japanese one right, won't we? But sometimes I struggle a bit with the Maori. I don't know why. I think it's the Maorification of New Zealand that's getting to me. On this day in 1965, Bob Dylan, he records the single Like a Rolling Stone. It was the number one in Rolling Stone magazine, 500 greatest hits of all time. And I've got that teed up here right now. Why don't we have a listen to Bob Dylan at 11 minutes to 7. Here we go. Here we go, today's best country on the wireless, and that is Bob Dylan. That was the number one song in 1965. It was Like a Rolling Stone. How about that? 5 to 7 with Grant. I hope you're enjoying the program. It's a nice easy old morning, isn't it? Really, it's a beautiful day. It's going to be lovely in the country, most of the country, for another 2 or 3 days, I think, and then the rain starts in the north. Why don't we have a little look and see what Samantha Edwards has been up to? She's no relation to me, but boy, is she a grunter. Does she get the news? She's like a ferret. let's have a look and see what she's been doing. Here's the latest one. Now, if you want to find out what she's been up to, go to counterspinmedia.com, counterspinmedia.com, and have a look at the latest episode, episode 90. And in this episode, Destiny Church's Brian Tamaki is threatening to sue Samantha Edwards and Counterspin Media over the publication of Samantha Edwards Reports, Episode 5. And that title is called Brian and Hannah Tamaki's COVID Money Trail. And you can see that as well. I don't know if they're lucky. They've worked hard. They deserve it. They're the spearhead of the truth movement. And they're on Mad Max World TV. They're on Band.video. And that's part of the Alex Jones Network. And they are doing a fantastic job. The best way to see all of their movies is just to go straight to counterspinmedia.com. And while you're there, push the donate button. They could do with a few shekels. A few Pacific pesos would be nice, actually, wouldn't it? New Zealand dollars, Pacific pesos. It's 4 minutes to 7. Anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about that Calvin Alp. He was joined. They had in this episode, they join together. They come together. And that could be quite a big thing. I don't know where the Alps are living at the moment, and I'm not sure where Samantha is either. And if I did know, I wouldn't tell you. Anyway, and in that episode, Calvin Alp is joined by Samantha Edwards, and she hits back at false allegations made by Brian Tamaki in his recent statement, threatening to sue them. Brian's statement is systematically addressed, point by point, and the conversation is delved into in more depth. No one will be left in the dark about what's happening with this rebuttal. And if you remember I'll just tell you a little bit about what that's all about. So she investigates the extent of Destiny Church's, this is Samantha Edwards, the Destiny Church leaders, Brian and Hannah Tamaki's involvement in the Whanau Ora COVID testing station in their car park. Now, Brian has stated that the COVID fake vaccine has never been administered on their premises, but is this true? How invested are Brian and Hannah in the work of Whanau or a community clinic? And what is the true extent of their collaboration? Have Brian and Hannah Tamaki or any other Destiny leaders profited financially from the COVID scam? These and many other important questions are addressed in this video, which is entitled Samantha Edwards Reports, Brian and Hannah Tamaki's COVID Money Trail, and you'll see that on Counterspin Media. And here's what, this is what Samantha Edwards has said, and it's very important because they're threatening to sue. Have a listen to this, a conversation with Brian Samantha Edwards and Calvin Al. There we go. The problem is I've entitled it Brian Tamaki versus Samantha Edwards. That got me on off track, didn't it? 7:02.
Can I just address that?
Yeah.
Calvin, you see, this is where I think this is really dangerous because I have done my job. I have looked into the facts. I have researched. Then I've looked at what evidence I can find to support those facts. Is there evidence? Okay, right. So that's what I've done. I've done my job. And Counterspin is basically the last unfettered voice, I would say, in New Zealand, and we're damn lucky to have them. And if we allow this kind of bullying, threats and intimidation of lawsuits for somebody speaking the truth, then we are setting up a society for our children that really is based on the guys with the loudest, pushiest voices and the flashiest suits. And I don't want my child to grow up in that. We need to be able to have facts and evidence presented.
Always facts and evidence based. And that's why no lawsuit, and I'll say it right here, right now, your lawsuit is a lemon. It's not going to pass muster. You cannot, in any way, shape, or form, win against us. And over 2 years that we've been reporting, we've got nothing wrong.
There you go. That is Calvin Alp speaking with Samantha Edwards from Samantha Edwards Reports. It's 7 o'clock. We'll have a look at the weather, shall we? Better do that. It's 7 o'clock, so let's look at it. The temperatures right now, it's quite chilly still. And Christchurch, you've got the highest temperature today, 10.2 degrees. Eastern Rangitiki, -5.7 right now. The windiest, 26 kilometres, is the Port Hills in Christchurch. And the wettest is Hokitika. You've got 0.2 millimetres of rain falling right now as we speak. For the short forecast, for Northland, mainly fine. Rain spreading south this evening and heavy falls and squally thunderstorms are possible. For Auckland to Waitomo, including the Coromandel Peninsula, the Bay of Plenty and the Central High Country, areas of frost and fog this morning, otherwise fine weather for you. For Gisborne and the Wairoa District of Hawke's Bay, isolated showers clearing this morning and fine breaks increasing. For the remainder of Hawke's Bay, also for Wairarapa, Taranaki to Wellington, mainly fine with areas of morning cloud clearing. For Nelson, Buller, and Westland, and Fiordland, and South Island, and the mainland, mostly fine. Areas of frost and fog this morning. Isolated showers developing south of the glaciers this morning and about Nelson this afternoon. For Marlborough, Canterbury, Otago, and Southland, areas of cloud about the east and fog patches inland this morning, otherwise fine after the frosty start. And for the Chathams, mostly cloudy with just a few showers for you. Let's have a listen to Miley Cyrus, shall we? At 2:01. Oh, for goodness sake, at 7:01. Where's your... I need another coffee, I think. Are we allowed 2 coffees? Because they're going to make it illegal, aren't they, if you have more than 2 coffees? And I'll tell you why, because the caffeine content in 2 cups of coffee is the same as one of those illegal prime drinks. Crazy, isn't it?
We were good.
7:05 with today's best music on the wireless. There is Miley Cyrus. She used to be a country singer. Not so much now, is it? She's not really. Let's have a listen to Laura Logan. Or is it Lara Logan? It hasn't got a U in it, but I think she pronounces it Laura. Lara Logan, we'll call her, shall we? Let's have a listen. She's with Mike Drop. And very interesting. Now, who is she, by the way? I'll tell you who she is. She's a 35-year correspondent, a veteran, and she's a war correspondent. That woman nearly lost her life in Egypt. I think it was in Cairo. I believe it was. Pretty sure it was. And she talks about that. If you go to YouTube, there's a 60-minute documentary or a 60-minute interview with her where she goes into exactly what happened to her. It's absolutely horrendous. I don't know many people that could have survived that. They just literally tried to pull her to pieces. Unbelievable. Just barbaric.
And the media everywhere is mostly liberal, not just in the US. But in this country, 85% of journalists are registered Democrats. So that's just a fact, right? No one's registering Democrat when they're rarely a Republican. So the facts are on the side of what you just stated. Most journalists are left or liberal or Democrat or whatever word you want to give it. How do you know you're being lied to? How do you know you're being manipulated? How do you know there's something not right with the coverage? When they simplify it all, and there's no gray. There's no gray. Mm. It's all one way. Well, life isn't like that. If it doesn't match real life, it's probably not, something's wrong, mm. right? So, for example, you know, all the coverage on Trump all the time is negative. There's no mitigating policy or event or anything that has happened since he was elected that is out there in the medias that you can read about, right? Well, that tells you that's distortion of the way things go in real life. Because although the media has always been, historically, always been left-leaning, we've abandoned our pretense, or at least the effort, to be objective today. The former executive editor of the New York Times has a book coming out, Jill Abramson, and she says we would do, I don't know, dozens of stories about Trump every single day, and every single one of them was negative. She said, we have become the anti-Trump paper of record. Well, that's not our job. That's a political position. That means we've become political activists, in a sense, and some could argue propagandists, right? And there's some merit to that.
Well, there she is, Laura Logan. She is a 35-year war correspondent. 35 years. She was one, she got into Afghanistan. She was in there, she went in from the north with the cameraman and a few others, and she is the one that, she didn't just sit there and wait for the news. Sorry about that, I shouldn't have done that. She didn't just wait for the press releases to come through. She actually went in and found out what was going on in Afghanistan, and she'd done some great reports. And now she's being lambasted by politicians and others, and they're pretending that she's some nutcase. She's certainly not. She's telling the truth. She's dropping truth bombs. She knows what's going on. And you need to find out what's going on by getting and having a listen. That was Mic Drop, too, by the way. You can see him on YouTube. I don't know how long they'll be there for. Probably they'll be on Rumble. So you really need to find out some other platform where you can see all these people, because soon you won't be able to see them. You can guarantee that. If Jacinda Ardern has her way, you won't be watching or listening to any of this anymore. So you need to find out what's happening now. You just cannot afford to just sit in front of that television and just soak up that propaganda, because it's military-grade brainwashing. And you'll be part of the mass formation if you let that happen. 8 minutes past seven. Today's best country on the wireless. Wonderful. There's Amy Grant. Gosh, I haven't heard her for a long time. Vince Gill there. Amy Grant and Vince Gill, the House of Love. And before that, we had Morgan Wallen. He's a new boy on the block. Can we call him a boy? We can't say girl, good girl anymore, can we? Not poor old... Water, what's his name? Waterhouse, is it? The guy in the parliament there? I think it was Taniti. She stood up and they couldn't hear her. And she said, I'll use my teacher's voice. And I think it was Waterhouse. Oh, one of them anyway, politician stood up and said, good girl. He didn't stand up. She stood up and said, I'll use my teacher's voice. And he said, good girl. And oh, there's a big furor about that. What a load of nonsense. Anyway, he's a new boy. He's a good boy. His song's called Settle Down. Let's have a look and see what's happening and put all the people with Trump derangement syndrome to bed. And because if you want to know what's happening here in this country, you're just not going to get any news at all on the other side of what's going on with Trump. And that was what Laura Logan was talking about in the Mic Drop YouTube video, very short one. President Donald Trump uses the law to fight back against the legal attacks being aimed at him in the newest Miami arrangement that stemmed from a federal investigation probing his handling of so-called classified documents from Mar-a-Lago. And the decision to segregate personal material from presidential records, if made by the president during the president's term and in the president's sole discretion, he told a crowd of the press and supporters just hours after arriving in Bedminster, New Jersey, last night. And so he also says that he actually read the law regarding the NARA and the Clinton SOX decision, which clarifies the right of the President of the United States as it pertained to declassified documents. Here's a quote. The President enjoys unconstrained authority regarding the disposal of documents. Do you get that, New Zealand Press? You understand that? You're not allowed to say this, are you? You know why? Because you've got groupthink. And if you say anything contrary to the narrative, to the groupthink, you are not going to be invited to the parties anymore. President Trump added they ought to drop this case immediately because they're destroying our country. Trump called the 37 charges against him unthinkable, and he said that what they have done to our lawyers is absolutely horrible. The president has called Jack Smith. Now, who's Jack Smith? Well, he's the lead prosecutor, brought him from overseas, and he's the lead prosecutor in the investigation. He called him deranged, which he is. You'd have to be a nutcase. You'd be being paid a lot of money by the president, wouldn't you, to take this one on. He also said that the sham indictment put forth by the Biden administration, including staged photos of the boxes at Mar-a-Lago, that's what we heard on our, that was what that that guy McCann, the US correspondent for News Hub, he was going on about that. It's just nonsense. You've got to switch the media off in this country. You've got to turn it off, and you've got to just get off your chuff and go and have a look for yourself, because if you don't, they're going to kill you. That's what the communist plan is to get rid of half of you. Most of you, actually. 7:25. How about some more music for a change? Because I'm getting a bit heated here. Toby Keith, he's good value. We've had Amy Grant. I like her. I was in love with her. Me and my doctor, Graham and I, we were both in love with her back in the 80s. 7:20. Oh, he's born in New Zealand. Did you know that? That's Keith Urban. I told you so. Today's best country on the wireless with Grant. And let's have a listen to Chantal Baker, shall we? She's doing a fabulous job. Her and Phil, wow, we'll talk about that in a minute.
I'm talking about Ashley Bloomfield. Now you may be wondering, where has he been since then? Well, he's been working as a co-chair of the International Health Regulations Update at the World Health Organization. And what are they trying to do? Implement worldwide vaccine passports. Take away your sovereignty and your democracy. Apparently, Ashley Bloomfield thinks you may not need it. But it's not just about vaccine passports. They're also pursuing amendments to the international health regulations as a whole, which are considered a binding instrument of international law. And if they're adopted in May, you may not be able to protest it. All non-binding phrases have been deleted, gene-based therapies have been included, and public health risks have been deleted and replaced with all risks with the potential to impact public health.
Operation People with Chantal Baker and also Phil. We don't say his last name because he's a top guy and he just doesn't want it to be known who he is because he is a really very good investigator and he's got a great history as well. Good man, Phil. So that's operationpeople.com. Get there, give them your email because they could go down. We could all end up going down. That's what Jacinda Ardern wants to do. They want to stop us from talking to you. And my advice is turn off that radio, that mainstream radio, and that television. Stop watching it because it is military grade psychological warfare on you.
Ain't no way nobody gonna steal my love, my love.
Today's best country on the wireless with Grant Edwards, Dan and Shay. They call themselves Nobody's Gonna Steal My Love. 7:29. Hope you're enjoying the program. We've got a few good things coming up. Got a bit of I've got a country reflection here from the Judds. That's a good one. Clay Walker, I hope to have, and the Lumineers, I hope to play all those. Toby Keith is getting there as well. But I want to tell you about Operation People with Chantal Baker and Phil. And so they have been investigating an international organization called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Remember that, ISD. Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Get that logged in your mind because they make Kate Hanna and her disinformation project look like child's play. And they are I'll tell you about them right now. They're not held accountable to New Zealand law. And that's why the government's contracted them. It's a government-contracted private transnational company, and they're using our taxpayer money to help the government identify conservative influences so that they can censor them. And they call us right-wing extremists, and they even want to label us terrorists. That's what they're telling you on the TV and the radio. And it's a load of nonsense, a load of bollocks. And they purposely overlook the left-wing extremism, which has become very violent and terroristic, Take the attack on Posey Parker in Albert Park in Auckland a few months ago. So do you trust a foreign government with our national security? I don't think so. I don't think you would, and nor does Chantal Baker and her investigative reporter Phil. They say no, we don't trust them. You can go to YouTube and you can look up Chantal Baker, but I think this one was put on Operation People. Operationpeople.com is probably the best place to go, but this is a YouTube one I've watched. I've got the link here, and I'd advise you to go and have a look at it. It's only 8 minutes long, but it's worthwhile looking at. So go to YouTube now while you still can. Also, in that video, you'll see that they sent off an official information request, and they know for sure now that the government documents prove collusion between Facebook and the New Zealand government to censor Chantal Baker and others. Included in these documents for government targeting are the New Zealand Centre for Political Research, that's founded by a former MP, Muriel Newman, by the way, the Platform New Zealand, Sean Plunkett, and I'll bet you that also inside there there'll be the BFD with Cam Slater, Counterspin Media with Hannah and Calvin Alp, they'll be there, the Daily Examiner, and there'll be many more. So you know what I think I'd like you to do right now? At 29 minutes to 8, I'd like you to go and join OperationPeople.com today and make sure that Labour doesn't get its wish of silencing dissenting voices. That's what we need to do. Here's Chantal Baker right now.
When I was in the anti-human trafficking field...
Actually, that's Phil. We'll do that again.
When I was in the anti-human trafficking field, I was helping to build an intelligence capability. So intelligence is about analysing trends. So collecting information, which is not necessarily intelligence. And intelligence is what you apply to information. So you collect information and then you're going to identify trends within that information, and that becomes intelligence because it tells you something more by collecting a whole lot of sort of data points and saying, well, this is the picture that they're painting. And in fact, intelligence picture is something that's a term that is used because you're sort of putting a lot of the pieces of the puzzle together to actually produce the picture. And so I was very interested in intelligence, and I was building this intelligence capability overseas in anti-human trafficking. And then that's where I started getting into software as well, because I realised, well, if you can work out how to get into a web page, if you can work out how the internet works, then you can actually extract a lot of information.
Are you getting a bit of an understanding now just how important Phil is to our fight, to this fight for truth? He is a very serious guy. 27 minutes to 8. Here's Toby Keith with American Ride.
What country is this?
You're listening to Country Reflections.
Families really bow their heads to pray.
Today's Daddy's best country on the wireless. Lovely old one there from the Judd's Grandpa. Tell me about the good old days. 26 to 8. You're with Grant Edwards here until 9 o'clock, and then we're just going to let it rip, and we're going to play all the wonderful country songs, and I'm also going to feature Mickey Willis's documentary, the new documentary that's just come out. It's called The Great Awakening. Very important. Mickey Willis is a documentary filmmaker, has been for a long, long time. He's a leftist. He was with the Bernie Sanders campaign, and then he woke up. He realised what we were doing. He started to see what was going on. So he started researching, and he found a man called G. Edward Griffin. And he started listening to what he was saying back in the 1960s. And Edward Griffin, he's labelled a conspiracy theorist, but he's not. He's no nut. He's still alive. He's 81 and very lucid. 25 to 8. And I was going to do... we're going to talk about what's just happened with Russia. News Hub have just got a new story out. I won't play what they've said. It's because it's just propaganda. But here we go. So the Belarusian president, Alexander Lukashenko, he says his country has started taking delivery of Russian tactical nuclear weapons, some of which he claims are three times more powerful than the atomic bomb the US dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. That ended the war, didn't it? And he says, we have missiles with bombs that we have received from Russia. Lukashenko said that in an interview with the Russia One Russian state television channel, which was posted on the Belarusian Belta State News Agency's Telegram channel. The deployment is Moscow's first move of such warheads, shorter-range, less powerful nuclear weapons that could be potentially used on the battlefield outside of Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union. 24 to 8, But if you really want to know what's going on, my advice is to go to YouTube right now while you still can. And I think he's got a Rumble channel, and that's a former Trump advisor, Colonel, no less. Thanks to Omo, one man's opinion for this. He put me onto this chap, Colonel Douglas McGregor. I'm just going to play you a little bit of it so you know the caliber of the man. It's 24 minutes to 8.
All right, joining us next on the show today, he's a retired U.S. Army colonel, one of our great friends. Always looking forward to coming back and sitting down with Colonel Douglas McGregor. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, happy to be here.
Nailed it. Well, Colonel, I don't hate saying you were right, but every single thing you've pretty much talked about on the show for the last 6 months that you've been joining us has come to fruition here regarding the war in Ukraine. I mean, while the New York Times spent the weekend virtue signaling about maybe we should have some concerns about Nazi-related patches on Ukrainian soldiers' body armors, you were talking about failed spring offensives and not much happening going on with the summer one. It seems that is exactly where we're at right now. You were talking about blown up ammunition dumps last time. A week after you were on our show, we started seeing it trickle into the mainstream media, and we're coming back to talk to you today about the absolute latest. What can you tell us?
Well, over the last 3 days, there have been what people are now calling probing attacks against Russian defenses. Things haven't turned out well for the Ukrainians. The Russians have had 210 wounded, 71 killed. Ukrainians have lost nearly 4,000 people, 54 tanks, 210 armored fighting vehicles, 134 trucks, four or five aircraft, in other words, fixed-wing jet fighters, and two helicopters. Those are pretty costly probing attacks if you're trying to find a weak point in the Russian defenses. Now, of course, we have the dam over the Dnieper River.
Yep.
That appears to have had an explosion break the dam. And it looks like the explosion was from within the dam itself.
So weird.
Increasingly, it looks like one of the turbines, you know, the major engines that are powered by the water, blew up. Now, whether or not that was done purposely by the Ukrainians or anybody else, I mean, Ukrainians obviously blame everything on the Russians. If the sun comes up 2 minutes late tomorrow morning, the Russians obviously held it back. But bottom line is, you know, the broken dam has actually made matters worse for the Ukrainians. They have flooded many of the areas on the eastern side of the Dnieper where the Russians were defending. This actually makes the whole defense easier because you have a 900-mile defensive line. Now, apparently 20, 30 miles of that has been eliminated because of the flooding. And again, it's going to have a terrible impact on the city of Kherson. It's going to be flooded. There's no good news for Ukraine. And now I guess we have to wait for the major offensive, because I have a feeling that the dam breaking the way it has is the sort of signal for this big offensive to start.
Now, Colonel, I've seen quite a few accounts on Twitter that have shown some videos released by Russian state media showing just what you said, some of those probing attacks, the armored personnel carriers, the tanks getting absolutely destroyed where they're coming through and trying to test Russian defense lines. In addition to that, you have to talk about some of the other things that are going on here with Vladimir Zelensky. I've noticed a narrative kind of building in the background. There was an article that came out, I believe it was in the New York Times like 2 weeks ago, saying that if this guy, and I'm paraphrasing now because the New York Times obviously lies about it a whole lot better than I'm going to say it, but if he doesn't get his shit together in the next 6 months, he could be the same kind of victim that we saw back in 2014 during the color revolution there in Ukraine. And essentially, they would, you know, figure out a way to get rid of him because they know he's not going to be the guy to get us out of this mess. Do you see something like that coming down the pike for Zelensky, even after, I mean, a lot of people are starting to question where all this money's going. You have Ukraine complaining all weekend that they don't have enough air defenses, even though they're getting the long-range missiles and the jets now to support them. So what do you think?
I think the following. Zelensky has always been Washington's puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And the puppet is rapidly become a serious liability. He's certainly no asset. If anything, his interference with the conduct of military operations has actually worsened Ukraine's position.
And that is Colonel Douglas McGregor, and thanks very much for Omo for putting me onto him. He's someone we all need to be watching and listening to. I think he's got he might have a Telegram, he might have Twitter, I don't know, but all those might be unavailable to us soon. There's Rumble as well. So go and give them your email address. That's the easiest, best way for you, so people can keep giving you information. Colonel Douglas McGregor, he was a former Trump advisor during the Trump administration, and he's one you should be listening to. There's another one as well that Omo gave me. That's One Man's Opinion. He's on the program regularly. He will be more regularly, hopefully. From time to time he's been on. And, so he's going to be back giving us some more information and some truth bombs as well. That is Omo, One Man's Opinion. He did give me another name, and I can't find it. I've got it there. I've downloaded the thing, and I can't find it. I don't know. It's another. He knows a heck of a lot about what's really happening. And Laura Logan, too, of course. Follow her as well. She knows. And I would say that Colonel Douglas McGregor and Laura Logan are on the same. They're on the same wavelength. 14 to 8.
When I was young, falls in love.
Today's best country on the wireless with Grant Edwards. It is 11 minutes to 8. That is the Lumineers, they call themselves. It's called Ophelia, that track. Want to talk a little bit more now about Mickey Willis. He's spelt M-I-K-K-I, Mickey Willis. He is the documentary filmmaker and the writer and director of The Great Awakening. Very important video to watch. It's about an hour and 40 minutes. He actually does interview Edward G. Griffin, who was very prominent 50 years ago in the truth movement. He's probably one of the first truthers out there at 10 to 8, I should say. Edward G. Griffin, and he has some of that historic recordings of him as well. So go there and watch it. I watched it a couple of times earlier this week, and very, very important. So I've cut up a whole lot of extracts for it, and I'm playing it on rotate on the wireless for you to listen to, because it's so important. And I know that most of you are here because you like the country music. You don't really want to hear all the stuff about conspiracy theories, but you'll find that it's not conspiracy theories, and it's not right-wing extremism. It's just that we are right. What we're telling you, we know we're right, and there's too many voices out there, and we know that we're actually under communist occupation right now here in New Zealand, a globalist communist occupation. And if Luxon gets in with David Seymour here in New Zealand, the ACT and the Labour Party, you're going to have a globalist fascist government running it. It's going to be worse. So you've got to do something about it. Who are we going to vote for? What's our future going to be like here? 9 to 8. Let's have a listen to Mickey Willis. Just a little short extract there about the brainwashing that's going on.
I left China because my parents were heavily persecuted for their practice of Falun Gong. From age 1 to age 5, my grandparents were taking care of me because my parents, they were always inside some dark cells being tortured. My first clear memory of my mother, I was brought to a brainwashing center and saw her being tied up to a chair with like people behind her, guarding her. And she had a very thick plastic tube inserted into her nose, and she was being force-fed at the time. She just looked like she was in so much pain, and I was 5 at the time. That was, it's just very traumatizing. My school principal actually came to me several times and told me not to be a part of my parents and to report any activity that my parents would do. They're instilling all the lies and hatred into the younger generation.
The young people are used today to do the American Cultural Revolution, to turn the kids basically not to trust their parents anymore. And say, oh, my parents don't understand me, I'm confused. I need to turn to my teachers, turn to other authority figures. Look at the Mao's Cultural Revolution to say, how many similarities are there?
That's from the documentary film by Mickey Willis, the writer and director. It is called The Great Awakening. Go and see it on YouTube while you can. I don't know if it is on YouTube, actually, but if you Google it, there are some out there. And it's just doing the rounds. It's all over the internet at the moment. Hopefully, you'll watch it and watch it through and listen carefully because you'll learn from it. It's 7 minutes to 8. And this is Kelsey Ballerini.
We used to be the life of the party. You're the reason I quit drinking.
Kelsey Ballerini is a name with Lainey there. I quit drinking. You're the reason I quit drinking. Some might say, you're the reason I started drinking, honey. I think 4 minutes to 8. Did I say that already? I did. I want you to have a listen to this woman. Her name is Barbara O'Neill. She's Australian. She's talking about GM foods. That'll damage you. It sure will.
Did you know that Vladimir Putin, the Russian's president, he's passed a law that any Russian who grows or sells genetically modified foods is to be considered a terrorist? Whew. He's even giving land away to Russians who will grow food organically, non-GMO. You put his name and GMO in Google ad and you'll read the spiel. He says, we Russians look across at the West, over-vaccinated, over-medicated, over-fed, sitting in front of boxes every night in their lounge rooms, eating food that has no nutrients, he said, and we know it's weakening the West. Is he right? Absolutely right. Yeah. Unfortunately, Monsanto is so powerful and so wealthy and so big, they win every court case where Australians want GMO to be labelled on the products. Happens in America too, it's unfortunate. So how do you know? Well, you don't, unless you buy organic. You see, if an organic farmer uses genetically modified seed, they lose their organic status. So grow as much as you can yourself. And the more Aussies that buy organic, the more organic will be available. One organic tomato will give you 9 times the iron of a conventionally grown tomato. See, you get much more value for your money, even though organic is more expensive. Genetically modified food happens when the DNA of 2 different species are spliced together to create, for instance, DNA of the tomato with the DNA of an Atlantic salmon, hoping to create a tomato that grows in the snow, but actually it doesn't grow in the snow. And it has 5 centres instead of 1, and there's all these strange things happening. And when the person eats that tomato, it breaks down to molecules that your body cannot recognise and has the ability to damage your DNA.
Today's Best Country on the Wireless with Grant, and that is Pat Green, and it's called Baby Doll. I've got Laura McKenna coming up, but before I do, I better give you the weather at 8:02. Let's have a look and see what's going on. Right now, I'll give you the extremes. The highest temperature right now is in Christchurch and the Port Hills. You've got 10.1 degrees. Well done for this time of the year. For Omarama, you are the lowest, minus 4.3 degrees. Nugent Point, you're the windiest with 30 kilometres per hour racing through there at Nugent Point. The wettest right now is Ashburton with 0.2 millimetres of rain. And if we look right across the whole country, it looks like it's quite chilly, really. Rotorua minus 1, Masterton 1 degree. Just to give you an idea, it's pretty cold. Pretty cold. Blenheim 0 degrees, Timaru minus 4, Queenstown minus 1. And the hottest place to be really is, like I said, Christchurch in the foothills. I can't understand why that would be 10.1 degrees in the foothills. And down in 3 degrees, I guess that's the way it is, isn't it? It's about 4 degrees where I am. It's pretty chilly. Chatham Islands, you're doing very well, 10 degrees. Let's have a look at the short forecast, shall we, at 8:03 on the wireless. First of all, for Northland, mainly fine. Rain spreading south this evening and heavy falls with squally thunderstorms are also on the cards. For Auckland to Waitomo, including the Coromandel Peninsula, the Bay of Plenty and the Central High Country, fine apart from areas of frost and fog this morning. For Gisborne to Wairoa district of Hawke's Bay, you've got fine breaks increasing during the day. For the remainder of Hawke's Bay, also for Wairarapa, Taranaki to Wellington, mainly fine, areas of morning cloud clearing. For the South Island, Nelson, Buller, Westland and Fiordland, mostly fine. Areas of frosts and fog this morning. Isolated showers developing south of the glaciers in the morning and about Nelson this afternoon. For Marlborough, Canterbury, Otago and Southland, areas of cloud about the east coast. Fog patches inland this morning, otherwise fine. Frosty inland. And for the Chathams, for the wonderful Chathams at 10 degrees you've got over there, you've got a lovely, often cloudy day with just a few showers. You need a few showers to make everything grow, the veggies grow, don't you? 4 minutes past eight, you're with Grant. This is Laura McKenna. Today's best country on the wireless with Grant, and that is Laura McKenna. One kiss in the morning. Good morning, dear. Go and brush your teeth. You've got shocking breath, you have. I don't know what you've been up to. Hey, it's 8 minutes past 8 minutes past eight, and I want to tell you, here's a story from CNN. This is one that you can trust, I think. Hopefully you can. It's a 76-year-old woman. She was declared dead in hospital in Ecuador and was found to be alive and knocking on her own coffin during her own wake in the city of Babahoyo. And she said, "I lived." This is not her. This is whoever it was, her son, I think. Gilberto Barbera, he said, "I lifted up the coffin and her heart was pounding and her left hand was hitting the coffin. We called 911 to bring her here to the hospital." And so that was in a video posted on social media. And so that's where the term bell ringer comes from, and the graveyard shift. You know, we used to do the all-nighter, we used to call that the graveyard shift, but that term came from, because they'd often bury people, apparently. I don't know if it's that often, but sometimes they could put you in the grave. So what they used to do, they'd have someone posted on a chair, probably reading a book, right next to the grave, and there'd be a bell, and a line from that bell down into the coffin. That's where the bell ringer thing came from, a dead ringer. You know, oh, he's a dead ringer. And the graveyard shift, the guy would sit there all night just to make sure that that person was, in fact, dead and not alive. At 10 past 8, wouldn't it be horrible? I'd be stuck in a coffin, tapping on it. I'd be doing more than that, man. I'd be scratching. Apparently, they have found scratch marks on coffins. Isn't that a horrendous thought? Imagine being buried alive. Oh, dear. This is Josh Turner with The Backwoods Boy. Today's best country on the wireless with Josh Turner and Backwoods Boy. That's one of my favourites, actually. That came out a long time ago, 2008. It's still good. He's got some new stuff, and I hope to bring a lot of new music, new singles from Josh Turner to the platform here. So that'll be good, won't it? We've got Neil McCoy. And who else? We've got Brad Paisley, Dolly Parton there. Well, what's happening in the Potiki? Is it all over? Are they all leaving yet? I don't know. The latest I've heard that the schools were closed down, and as the members of the mongrel mob gathered, mongrel mob barbarians they call themselves, whoo, and they gathered at the Hillcrest Cemetery to farewell their fallen leader. His name was Stephen Rota Tayatini. And he is 45 years old, this fellow, who's the leader of the mongrel mob barbarians. He was killed last week, or murdered. Police have launched a homicide. Oh, there we are. They've launched the homicide investigation. A convoy of hundreds of motorcycles and red cars took to the streets before midday, travelling from Apodiki to his final resting place outside of Whakatane. And a close friend of the Tayatini family, Riley Poi Hippie, she told the Ukaha News, that must be Mara News of some sort, that they were absolutely devastated by his loss. Yeah, I bet they were. It's a terrible thing that anyone's killed. And I don't know whether it's drug-related or whether it's, you know, one gang against another. Who knows? But it's a pretty scary time. The residents there at Apodiki, they are calm, but others are on edge. And I think they're still on edge. Hopefully now that he's been laid to rest, that they'll get back to normal. I don't understand why everyone had to move out. It just seems crazy that, 700 they reckon. Isn't that what they said, 700? I heard 700 gang members came into Apodiki, and it was a pretty scary time. And then all the police, if you put your evil cap on, if I was a burglar or a ram raider, too old for that, they're all young Maoris, aren't they? But if I was one of those, I would be saying, look, all the cops, they've all gone to Apodiki. Why don't we do some armed robbery or whatever. Let's get into it. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that while the cops are all down in Potiki. And apparently, I've heard yesterday, it might have been the day before, that a lot of the police, it's a very low morale in the police. I know this for a fact. And I have my sources, which I will not divulge to any of you. But it's a very low morale, and they're struggling to get new recruits, sworn officers. Just about impossible. They're not able to do it. So what they're doing is they're just putting unsworn officers in. And so really, I don't know, what are they like? They'd just be like security guards, wouldn't they, in the police uniforms? And that's a bit scary because they wouldn't have the legal training, the training in the law. And, years ago, we never had any problem with the police. They were wonderful, and we really appreciated them. And I used to tell them, I appreciate you. Thank you. Because many a time I was helped by the police doing the work that I was doing. And... boy, they were just so good. And they knew the law. People were trying to shut me up from speaking publicly. And the policeman would say, no, he's got the right, under the Bill of Rights, he has the right to speak. It doesn't matter whether you don't like it or not. It's speech, all speech is free. It's called freedom of expression. It's in the Bill of Rights, 1990, the New Zealand Bill of Rights. Go and have a look at it. It's online. You can look at it for yourself. They don't call it free speech. They call it freedom of expression. And you can impart that in any way, shape, or form. Even what I'm doing here now, giving my opinion, I'm allowed to do that. But Jacinda Ardern and others, other communists, they want to shut that down. They don't want you listening to me, and they don't want you listening to others like Chantal Baker and Cam Slater and even Sean Plunkett. He says a few good things, says a lot of rubbish sometimes too, especially about the jab. Hopefully he'll change his mind about that. People like John Ansell, they don't want you to hear him. And so there's lots of us out there that are all doing our best to warn you. And, you know, we could be doing other things. We could be, you know, up early and doing work that pays. This doesn't pay. Voices for Freedom's another one. And get on the emailing list, won't you? Get on them on Voices for Freedom. They've got a radio station now. It's called Reality Check Radio. Go and listen to them. Paul Brennan, great guy, Radio New Zealand trained, wonderful, wonderful announcer and a nice person as well. He was on the, I think he was on Plunkett's platform, and then I think he brought in some people that had started talking about the vaccine injuries, and Plunkett must have sprung a leak over that one, had a fit, and so he never came back on the show. And I think Plunkett had a heart attack. I wonder if that was vaccine related. Oh dear, I shouldn't laugh. It's not acceptable. It's 19 minutes past 8, and we better move along, play another record. Let's have a listen to, oh, we did that, we did him. What about Brad Paisley? Actually, I'll tell you what, let me just have a listen to this. This is Mickey Willis, and he's the documentary filmmaker. I told you about him this morning, but for those that have just joined us, he's the writer and director of the film The Great Awakening. It's brand new out there for Mickey. Mickey Willis is spelled M-I-K-K-I. Yeah, M-I-K-K-I. Have a listen, just a short extract there about communism and the theory. And I think he interviews G. Edward Griffin as well, who was speaking about all this 50 years ago.
I'm well aware that whether you're here in person or through the medium of motion picture, that for most of you, it's not easy to fit meetings of this kind into your schedules. But the fact that you are here indicates that you do have an interest in the subject. So in order not to waste any of your time, let's dispense with the usual preliminaries and get right down to the business at hand. We're going to examine in quite a bit of detail the communist theory and practice of revolution, particularly as applied to the United States. Now, this will not be something dreamed up out of thin air. This will be the strategy as taught by them and advocated by them in their own manuals, in their textbooks, and in their schools. The new program of the Communist Party on this subject has this to say. The term socialism describes but the first stage of a new society that in its full development is called communism. Socialism is a transitional stage.
Jim Carrey, everybody. I went out today and bought me some freedom-friendly Nikes.
Yeah, that's right.
As a salute to Colin Kaepernick, to Nike, congratulations on your fantastic choice. Thank you so much. Well, it's good to be back dystopian America.
The Republicans are running with the word socialism. They're trying to say...
They're trying to scare people.
Scare people.
It's communism.
Venezuela, Trump says. We're going to be living in Venezuela.
I grew up in Canada.
I'm here to tell you that this bullshit line that you get on all of the political shows from people is that it's a failure. The system is a failure in Canada. It is not a failure in Canada. I never waited for anything in my life. I chose my own doctors. My mother never paid for a prescription. It was fantastic. And I just got back from Vancouver, and I keep hearing this, like, Canadians are so nice. Canadians are so nice. They can be nice because they have health care. Because they have a government that cares about them.
In Canada, the authorities say it's now a state of emergency. Swept through Canada's capital.
Today, police in Ottawa used batons and pepper spray.
You just trampled on me.
I'll put you dead to heart!
Medical wait times in this country
are longer than ever.
The cost of living just keeps climbing.
There's a socialist coup unfolding in Canada, and we taxpayers are funding it.
In the recent years, a lot of Canadians have been watching their once well-regarded country become what some are even calling tyrannical.
A country previously hailed as the most free and democratic in the world.
Now, the People's World, the official West Coast newspaper of the Communist Party, ran this rather interesting editorial. What is needed now is an effort that begins to approximate the magnitude of the problem. As a minimum, such a program should demand massive emergency action by the federal government.
The federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act.
As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order.
If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges.
Banks have already started to freeze the accounts of people involved in the protest.
Please get out. Immediately get out. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. Unbelievable.
Growing up under communist dictatorship, I have been warning Canadians that that's what's coming. I could smell it. I could see it at every corner. We will not put up with this anymore. We are fighting back.
Protests, public protests, are an important part of making sure we're getting messages out there. But using protests to demand changes to public policy is something that I think is worrisome.
Okay. So here we have the Prime Minister of Canada saying that, yes, we have a highly functioning democracy and they have the right and freedom to protest. However, if those protests are used to demand change in government policy, then no.
The small fringe minority who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing. Do not represent the views of Canadians who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country.
That's Trudeau, isn't it? Castro Jr., they call him. 24 minutes past 8. And by the way, Mickey Willis, that is called The Great Awakening. He's the writer and director, for those who've just joined us. And I advise you to go over and have a look at it. I don't know where you'd go to. I just got it sent to me. But I think I'm pretty sure. I had a Google the other day, and it was all over the place. I'm pretty sure, and it's free. He's made it available freely. He used to make really good music videos, and he was a leftist. He was in the Bernie Sanders campaign, and then he sort of woke up in 2016. He realized that these guys are going to destroy our country, and they're destroying New Zealand right now. The communists, they've fully taken over. They have been planning this and working on this for decades. They've been brainwashing your children through the education system. The communists, that's what they are. They're not social democrats. That's just what they like you to think they are. Socialism. Oh, that's lovely. Social. But it's not. They're communists. That's what they are. They're globalist communists. They're all ruled by a foreign power. That's treason, isn't it? So what they've been doing all over the world and Western world is that they want to take over, right, just after COVID. They use that as a launching pad to slingshot themselves into this Agenda 21 thing that they're pushing. And they've done things like shut down oil refineries in Western countries. We've had, oh, that's funny, we had ours shut down. Oh, I wonder if that was done on purpose. Yep, it was. The whole climate change nonsense is a farce. We need CO2. If we don't have that, the plants and trees won't grow properly. And I hear that they've even got sequestration machines that are taking the CO2 out of the atmosphere, and they're containing it. And if they do that, we're in big trouble. Nothing much will grow. You'd have to grow everything in a terrarium and put pump CO2 into your greenhouse or whatever it is if you want to be able to have some anything to grow, because everything's going to fail if they're allowed to do that. So we've got a full-fledged communist takeover of our country, and we need to fight like crazy. We need to listen to people like Mickey Willis. He was a leftist. OperationPeople.com with Phil and Chantal Baker. They warned us about this Institute for Strategic Dialogue, the ISD, and they're after people like Cam Slater. They're after people like Paul Brennan and Rodney Hyde and Peter Williams. They want to shut them down. They want to shut down Voices for Freedom and Reality Check Radio. Counterspin Media, they're high on the list. They've got to shut them down. So Chantal Baker, even Sean Plunkett, those people they want to close down. And even the New Zealand Centre for Political Research, a former MP, what's her name? Muriel Newman. I think she was an ACT MP. I hope I'm not wrong saying that. Pretty sure I'm right. And that's a good online publication, and everyone, and they're pretty cautious about what they put out. They don't put out a lot of my stuff because they think it's nonsense. Not all of it. If I say anything that's anti-Maori, they put it out. So not Maori, but anything that is sort of anti the Maorification of New Zealand, that seems to get through, but the other stuff doesn't seem to get through. And it's important stuff about climate change. They don't seem to be too concerned about that. So, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. 28 minutes past 8. I tell you what, when my brother and sister were in a car accident in 1970, they were hit by a drunk driver, and my brother's best friend, my brother was 16 and his best friend was 16, and he was killed instantly. And Godfrey Bowen's daughter, Delwyn, she was in the car. She was really smashed up. My sister was in a coma for 3.5 months. My brother was in hospital. She was in hospital for 2 years. He was in hospital for about 6 months, all smashed up by this drunk driver. It hit them in a 56 Chev. And I wanted to track this guy down. I knew his name, Peter Tye. I knew who he was, and as a 10-year-old, I wanted to track him down and kill him. That was my goal. From a 10-year-old, right up until when did it go off the boil? I had my chance to kill him. I had some friends that lived in Murupara. They had a farm, and you had to take your dogs to get vaccinated, get wormed or whatever it was. And he was there, and a Maori fella turned up, and I said, "Oh, what's that guy? Who's that guy?" And I said, that it just came out. They said, that's Peter Tye. I go, shoot, I know that name. And but I had no desire to kill him at 17. I'd grown out of it by then. But at a 10-year-old, I wanted to kill that man. I had a dream. I had a dream where I saw him in Levin at the main street crossing the pedestrian crossing. And I ran up behind him, climbed up on his back, and I think I just poked his eye. I grabbed him and I was just trying to wrestle him in my dream. And I hated him with a passion. I wanted him dead because what he'd done to my family, and, killed that young 16-year-old boy from just getting drunk, driving while you're under the influence, just rotten drunk. There was beer bottles in the car. He had a drunk wife. And then he converted the car. They took the keys off him at the Murupara pub. And then he got into someone else's car, and then they all sort of rallied around and said, he didn't steal it. But he did. He converted a car and drove with his girlfriend or wife or whoever in the car. And then they went round this corner far too fast. The police estimated they were doing about 80. My brother had just put a brand new engine in the Morris Minor. There was four young people in there, 21-year-old and two 21-year-olds and two 16-year-olds. And they're on their way to Murupara. My sister was a dental nurse in Murupara. And he hit this bank, which was about sort of a meter high, and then just ricocheted off the bank back onto them, and hit Stephen was in the passenger seat at the front and just killed him instantly, and terrible, and put them in hospital. It was just terrible. It just ruined everybody's life, and I wanted to kill him because of what he'd done to our family. But time is a wonderful healer. By the time I was, I think probably even 13 or 14, I probably still would have given him a good hiding. I don't think I would have killed him. And by the time I was 17, I had my chance. I could have run him over.
Well, if they found out who did it now.
Oh, back to Madeleine McCann. Yeah, sorry about that.
Madeleine McCann.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if they found out today who did it, and her parents wanted to take up a collection to have him killed, I'd absolutely contribute to that.
Well, I wouldn't. I think he needs to have his day in court, whoever it is. He might be innocent.
The Wireless. The Wireless.
And it wrecks me that you stay.
Today's best country on the wireless, and that is Nate Smith and a song called Wreckage. It's brand new, it's just come out. Quite good, isn't it? 23 to 9. And you're listening to Grant Edwards on the wireless here. And what have we got coming up for you after 9? We've got a few real good. I've got some good stuff. I've got Rascal Flatts in there. Shirley, funny way to spell it. Shirley Wright. And who have we got? Faith Hill, Clay Walker, Mary Jane might be back to give us another country biography. Garth Brooks is there, George Strait, all your favourites, Taylor Swift, and even Dolly Parton. But I've got Dolly, she'll be coming up before 9. And then at 9 o'clock I'll give you the forecast and also the extended forecast to let you know what's going to be happening over the weekend. And I wish I knew what was happening with my headphones, that's for sure. Right now, let's have a little listen to Chantal Baker, OperationPeople.com. Make sure you go to there. Go to them and give them your email address, because we don't know how long we're going to have our websites for.
I was lucky enough to get a meeting with Andrew Little and his bulldog, Willie Jackson.
So, Andrew Little, Health Minister.
This was the scariest thing that they said. Sure, lots of people are suiciding, but it's politics. You've got to play the game. So,
God, that's disappointing.
My message to the Labour Party, Mr. Little and Mr. Jackson, is kids dying is not a game. You cannot play games with kids' lives. So,
right. It's all just politics. It's all just a game. If Andrew is not in his role to actually serve and protect New Zealanders and to serve and protect our lives, what is he there for? Well, he's just money-hungry politician wanting to make sure he gets a nice fat paycheck and influence some sort of agenda that has nothing to do with saving the lives of Kiwis. That's what it is, Andrew.
That's Operation People, Chantal Baker. And what it is, I'll tell you what it is, Chantal, it is a complete overthrow of our government by a globalist communist regime. That's what it is. 22 to 9.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Brad Paisley, and it features Alison Krauss. That's a very, well, is it a sad song? It is, I suppose, a whiskey lullaby. Nothing like a drop of whiskey, though, aye. I'll drink to that, says Jimmy Buffett, and with Alan Jackson. 14 minutes to, no, it's not, 16 minutes to 8. This is Jimmy Buffett. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, time for a beer. Yeah, what about a whiskey? Let's go and have a beer. That's what I said, beer. Yeah, I'm having a beer. That's right, Alan Jackson with Jimmy Buffett. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I don't think I'll be having a beer for breakfast. No, I don't think I will be. I'll be having some meat, more meat. I'm on that meat thing at the moment. Boy, it's good. I feel alive. I've lost a lot of weight. I used to be a fat bastard. It's all right, children. It's a Bible word. You'll find it in there. Bastard and piss. Those two. I haven't been drinking. No. I haven't at all, but they are two words that I use from time to time. They come out of my mouth. They really offend people. I don't know. Sometimes I like offending people. Isn't it terrible? But they are Bible words, and I try not to use other words. Sometimes Omo caught me. He got me really angry yesterday. I wasn't swearing at him, but he heard me. And then his two kids had to get in the car, and he said he had to warn me. Now I've got my twins in the car, so you just be careful. But I have been swearing a bit lately. Ever since the police attacked innocent people at Parliament in February last year, that just got me so angry, so riled up. I couldn't even do a podcast, the Liberty NZ podcast. I had to stop doing it. Couldn't do it because I was just too angry. And I don't know. Anger is some Bibles, the fake Bibles, all the new Bibles say, don't be angry. It basically says anger is a sin. But if you read the old King James, it says, don't be angry without a cause. Don't be angry with your brother without a cause. And so I had good cause to be angry, and many of us did. We're very angry, and we're still angry, and we need to keep being angry. Because right now we're in a bit of a lull, aren't we? We're in a lull. They've got what they do is, it's all part of the communist takeover of your country. And so what they do is they get you, they'll bring out some virus, some fake virus, and then they'll use a fake PCR test and a fake rat test to frighten the living daylights out of you. They'll trump up the numbers to make out there's far more people that have been killed by it than ever. In 1985, 1,700 people died from the flu, from pneumonia, pretty much, bacterial infection, died from the flu, so-called. I don't even believe that's a real virus. I don't believe in viruses. I believe in Beecham's theory. But that's what they do anyway. So they have these lulls. It's like a wave. Right now we're in the bottom of the lull. It's all lovely. I was walking around the farm yesterday thinking, I'm so blessed to be here. I'm so happy that I love this place. I hate going to town now after the COVID fiasco. And there's still people wearing a mask. I want to scream at them. Poor souls. I really do. I just can't believe it. It's the Cochrane Report came out. And without a doubt, we already knew, they all knew. Fauci knew, Bloomfield knew here in New Zealand that masks don't work, but they were ordered from above, from that Tedros terrorist, that you've got to make sure they wear masks. Why? Because the communists need to know whether the mass formation's working or not. They need to know. If they see a lot of people wearing masks, they know that their propaganda is working. And Jacinda Ardern came out with it, didn't she? She said, we give them 2 weeks of sustained propaganda. Do you remember that? 2 weeks of sustained propaganda. So we're in this lull at the moment, but another one's coming. They'll have another fake virus. They've got climate change. They're frightening us with this. They're trying to get us to live in perpetual fear. And the reason for that is they know this. They've done all the studies. They've been doing it for decades. It's military-grade brainwashing, and they're doing it through the television, through the newspapers, through the radio, and you've just got to switch it all off. And they know that if they can keep you living in fear, and that the government is the only way, that they're the only ones that can get you out of this mess. I mean, this whole thing with ram raids and violent crime, 400% increase since COVID. Over 400% increase in violent crime and ram raids and stuff like that. And it's all done by young gang affiliates. Didn't the Labor government just pay them $3 million? Aren't they paying them millions of dollars? What's that all about? Why are we paying gangs? They distribute the drugs, and then we give them $3 million of our hard-earned cash, taxpayer money. It's not government money, it's our money. And we're giving these gangs that sort of dosh when it could go to do some real good. So we give them all this money, and then I believe, this is what I think is happening, I think it's all part, and this is what Edward Griffin says. They've got to pit one race against another. They want to see bloodshed in the streets. That's what the communists want. That's how they do it. And they have you living in fear, and all this violent crime, and police not able to get onto it, and they've got police going off and doing stupid stuff like ticketing boy races for laying a bit of rubber on a country road, or for having too dark a tint on their windshield. Or not the windshield, but the windows in the back, that sort of nonsense. I think they got between $30,000 and $50,000 about a month ago in Rotorua and those areas. Rotorua, Taupo, I think, well, might have been the Bay of Plenty, somewhere down there, or up there. And anyway, honestly, it's that's what it is. It's a global takeover of our country, communism. And they don't care. The globalists do not care whether you are following. They don't care about the ideology. They use all the ideologies to take control of a country. They want a one world government, and they want to dissolve every nation state in the world and run it from a central place. I don't know where it's going to be. Could be Europe. Might be America. I doubt it'll be America. We don't know. But we do know they're doing it. And one day, the Bible even talks about it. In the last book of the Bible, it says that there's going to be a man arise and a new world empire, and he's going to cause everyone to take a chip in their right hand and in their forehead. Well, that's what that guy from the WIF, what's his name? He's a Jewish guy himself, but he completely denies God. He talks about billions of years and all this sort of stuff, and he says we can create life And if you keep listening to this program, we play it on rotate. It's part of the video, Mickey Willis's video, I should say, M-I-K-K-I. It's part of his new documentary film called The Great Awakening. And I would highly recommend you go and watch that film. That's absolutely one thing you got to do. Shirley Wright. Shelley Wright, I beg your pardon. Shelley Wright, she went out for fags and just kept on driving. You know the feeling, you know the feeling, don't you? Went out for a smoke and never came back. Gosh, you couldn't afford to smoke these days, could you, if you were? What does it cost now I think 50 grams of tobacco will cost you $128. Who could afford to smoke? Good grief. 2 minutes to nine. Let's have a look at the short forecast early because I've got to get away right on nine. So let's have a look here. The short forecast for all of New Zealand, mainly fine weather in Northland. Rain spreading south this evening, though, so it's all going to pack up and turn to custard. Heavy falls and squally thunderstorms are possible for Auckland to Waitomo, including the Coromandel Peninsula, the Bay of Plenty and the Central High Country. You've got fine weather apart from areas of frosts and fog this morning. For Gisborne to Wairarapa, you have, the Wairoa district of Hawke's Bay. Fine breaks increasing during the day, so it's still all right for you. For the remainder of the Hawke's Bay and also for Wairarapa, Taranaki to Wellington, mainly fine, areas of morning cloud clearing. So it's all good for you still. It's just Northland's going to pack up tonight. For the South Island, the mainland, Nelson, Bullitt, Westland and Fiordland, mostly fine. Areas of frosts and fog this morning. Isolated showers developing south of the glaciers this morning and about Nelson this afternoon. For Marlborough, Canterbury, Otago and Southland, areas of cloud about the east coast and patches of inland fog this morning, otherwise fine. A frosty inland, though, you got a frosty start. And for the Chatham Islands, often cloudy with just a few showers. Let's look ahead to Friday. For the North Island, cloud increasing, rain or showers developing, but mainly dry on Friday from Taranaki to Wellington. In the South Island, mainly fine with morning frost but late drizzle, possibly about coastal Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury. Some rain about Fiordland as well. For Saturday, for the weekend, for the North Island, rain and showers but mainly dry from Taranaki to Kapiti. South Island, mainly fine with a few showers from Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury. And going straight ahead now all the way to Sunday for the North Island, periods of rain or showers. That's for the North Island. In the south, mainly fine weather, but showers from Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury. In the Chatham Islands, you've got cloudy periods and a few showers over the weekend. Southeasterlies gradually turning easterly on Saturday. And that is it, and that's my lot. And I'm going to leave you with Wiki. I hope I've got the right one. I've got three here that I had to choose from. It was the one with that guy, Harari. The guy, he denies God. He thinks it's this man, the man in the heavens, is just a nonsense. Hopefully I've got the right one. There's three of them. If this isn't it, I'll play it between I'll find it and I'll play it between 9 and 9:30. How about that? So this is Mickey Willis's documentary film, The Great Awakening.
Professor Klaus Schwab was born in 1938 in Ravensburg, Germany, where Nazi crimes against humanity were committed. His father, Eugene Wilhelm Schwab, was the managing director of Escher Weiss Ravensburg, a company that used slave labor to manufacture weapons of war for the Third Reich. While Klaus's father was at the helm, the Nazi Party awarded Escher Weiss Ravensburg the title of National Socialist Model Company. Years later, Klaus Schwab joined the board of directors at Escher Weiss Ravensburg, where he played a key role in the development of South Africa's nuclear weapons program during the darkest years of the racist apartheid regime. Today, Klaus Schwab is the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum.
If you'd like to meet the people who are supposed to repair the state of the world, or give a piece of your mind to the bankers who helped get us into this mess, we can tell you where to find a lot of them. The World Economic Forum.
Your Royal Highnesses, Excellencies, distinguished heads of state and government, the future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room.
Klaus Schwab, the founder of the WEF, is particularly upfront and even proud of his ability to shape and influence world politics.
I created the
community of global shapers as a means, as a force to shape our common future.
And of course, their Global Young Leaders program is a grooming ground so that when they ultimately infiltrate cabinets,
we penetrate the cabinets,
they will likely tend to govern a certain way.
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
The names in the countries he mentioned ended up being some of the most dystopian and authoritative during this pandemic.
Names like Ms. Merkel, Vladimir Putin, and so on.
Other names? Jacinda Ardern, Sebastian Kurz, Mauricio Macri, Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Ma, Gavin Newsom, Stéphane Bancel, Chelsea Clinton, Leonardo DiCaprio, Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Liana Wen, Alexander and Jonathan Soros, George Soros' sons, and several of the Rothschilds. And of course...
Now, who could represent such a world better than you, Prime Minister?
Founded in 1971, the World Economic Forum is an international private organization which receives billions of tax-free dollars from its members and their global enterprises. Every year, the WEF brings together its members with world leaders, big pharma executives, tech titans, Hollywood celebrities, media personalities, and internet influencers to meet in the secluded mountains of Davos, Switzerland.
It is a tiny town folded into the Swiss Alps, a village where you could bump into Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, the head of Google, and the Queen of Jordan, all in one place. A lot of reporters cover the forum, but few get inside. It turns out there are two Davoses, one you see and one you don't. After hours, there are hundreds of private parties where deals are done. People who can't be seen together in public can meet here.
The Wireless.
Humanity is currently under siege by the global heirs to the Nazis. In May 2022, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Klaus Schwab, the architect of the dystopian Great Reset, declared, and I quote him, "Let's be clear, the future is not just happening. The future is built by us, a powerful community here in this room. We have the means to impose the state of the world."
It is clear that the COVID-19 crisis is a watershed moment for digital infrastructure and services. Digital is the fabric of our post-COVID lives, and we will continue to rely on technology more and more.
I recommend highly that one reads Johnny Vedmore's report, Schwab Family Values. I don't quite think that he would be the poster boy that you would entrust your life to the Great Reset. The ultimate goal of these megalomaniacs is to gain total control of the natural resources, the financial resources, and to replace humans with transhuman robots.
We're going to start the When Humans Become Cyborg session. You know, I always want to be a cyborg. I'm waiting for the day.
Transhumanism is a biotech-enhanced caste system, the new eugenics. Transhumanists and, you know, globalists, they really think that they can manipulate the entire universe and have it run the way they dream up. This is absurd. They don't have that. Actually, they do not have the technology that they pretend that they do, because they're testing everything out on us. They're getting a free ride. The whole human species is that, you know, is their toys. They're treating us like toys. Klaus Schwab's lead advisor is Yuval Noah Harari.
In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms. After 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are about to enter a new era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design, our intelligent design.
Harari is a proponent of the new eugenics and transhumanism. Harari refers to humans as hackable animals. He declared we have the technology to hack humans on a massive scale. Harari declares that there are too many useless people. Remember, the Nazi term was worthless eaters. This is the new eugenics. It is embraced by the most powerful global billionaire technocrats who gather in Davos. Big tech, big pharma, the financial oligarchs, academics, government leaders, and the military-industrial complex. These megalomaniacs have paved the road to another Holocaust.
Just relax and listen to the radio.
Love is unconditional. We knew it from the start.